Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Robert from Shelton, a submarine veteran. Good morning. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Good, thank you. I would not be able to even tour a submarine.
Oh, no.
I'm too claustrophobic.
Oh, hell no.
It takes a special kind of idiot to go down there.
Well, thank you for
I've been
your
labeled
service.
That a couple times, but yeah.
Yeah, and then when you think about it going underwater.
No.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot
yep.
to you mentally be able to do.
Right. You it's see one, a leak from me.
It's one thing to do a tour where you can just leave.
And it's not underwater.
Right.
Yeah.
Once it goes under, you're stuck.
You can't go out and have a cigarette. Yeah.
What's the longest you were underwater in a sub?
The longest we did was, I think it was 137 days straight.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow.
No sun.
I was attached to a fast attack submarine, so our up-tempo was 80% away from home port.
A fast attack.
So for 3.5 years, I saw one Christmas, one Thanksgiving, I think New Year's once.
I don't think we think about this.
Yeah.
Enough.
But I signed up for that, so that was part of the game.
I was
fine with that.
I got you. Were you ever in anything that you know, we probably couldn't hear about, but like the red lights flashing like in the movie and the sound is
Oh, this is real.
He's saying, "Oh yeah."
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah, in the 4 years I served, I lived the whole lifetime down there.
Wow. There were probably close calls. We didn't even know how close we came to war, right?
Well, I was involved. We were our sub was sent out on missions that actively fired. So
cool.
We were involved in the actual onslaught of the Persian Gulf. So when you're at, you know, battleship or battle stations and you're launching, let's just say the poop hits the fan and things become very real.
Man. Well, you also become a target. They're like, where the hell is that thing?
Battleship.
It's like a sniper's nest. We got to get rid of that thing. It's really annoying the crap out of us.
B-7.
Yeah, wow.
Well, you can't kill what you can't see. You can't find. So
right.
That's a good thing about a submarine.
You have cloaking devices, right?
Do you have cloaking? Or did you?
Well, yeah. It's called ultra-silent. Once that submarine disappears under the water, you can't find us.
But once you fire something, and the enemy track that?
Well, at that moment, you're susceptible, correct.
Okay.
That's why there's protocols in place. Once you make that action, then you do another action.
Right. You lower this way, that way.
Right.
We're going to move.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Hit and run.
Yeah.
It's like throwing snowballs at cars.
Say,
you
got to
keep moving your location.
Yes. Can't stay one spot.
All right. I got it. When
you don't wave and say, hi, folks.
Yeah.
That was us!
Let's sit here
right.
and just see what happens.
Hi, guys.
Maybe let's say hi.
When the torpedo fires out of that submarine, what's that feeling like? What's that sound like? Can you hear it? Everyone knows what just happened. What's that like?
Well, when there's an actual launch.
Yes.
Well, you ever going up in an airplane and your ears kind of, you got to clear your ears?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess similar.
Oh, wow.
And the ship gets lighter.
So you say launch, so it's not like a torpedo coming out. It's like a rocket coming up, out.
Well, yeah, there's the ship has multiple capabilities.
Oh, man.
Very
it's like
Freudian.
A James Bond friggin' thing.
Yeah. You got to play the music.
Well, you remember, that submarine... That submarine is I after living on it, it's definitely more high tech, you know, and I've never been on a space shuttle, but for the amount of technology crammed into that thing, it is as high tech as you'll believe. So
yeah, I agree that you that submarine, and we get all like, you know, we fall over ourselves when we see a rocket go up into space. That submarine's way more advanced. It's under a tremendous amount of pressure, and it has an ecology of how many people were on that submarine for 100-and-something days underwater?
Well, we would go out with an average crew of maybe 95 to 120.
All right, so
no beans.
Let's just say like 100, 100 people eating, living, sleeping, working, trash, all
bathroom.
These things, air,
uh-huh.
for over 100 days.
Yeah.
It's really unbelievable under that amount of pressure.
Oh, absolutely. Just to make your own oxygen down there.
You do.
From your CO2.
Wow.
It's amazing.
It's nuts.
It is amazing.
So, you know, I think about submarines and when they fire stuff, I'm thinking of it them firing from the water into something that's in the water. I keep forgetting that you're launching.
Fire.
Yeah.
Out
it's
the
like,
water.
There's some, you know, guys at a base are like, hey, you hear that?
I don't
know.
One noise.
Good night.
It's just a little gift package. That's all.
Right.
It's just a little, how you doing? Yeah.
It's your Amazon.
Would you guys paint stuff like on the front of the missile? Like, hello from USA?
No, that's all movie stuff. Come on. You don't think submarine guys would actually do stuff like that, do you?
Of course not.
I do.
Well, I don't know now. I don't know.
Sir, there's certain secrets, you know, that get me put in prison. We can't say stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Doesn't the evidence explode?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That'd be interesting. Now, with the Ring cameras and all that stuff, you really can't, because it could potentially be the last image from the camera. You pull it up on the cloud, it's like, hi from the USA.
Right.
Oh, geez. Well, we can't thank you enough for your service. What's the deal with these veteran plates?
Well, it's funny. You know, I called back. I was listening to whomever esteemed colleague you had on there a minute ago, and kind of made my blood boil for a few reasons, one of which will stay on point about the vanity plates. A couple years back, my wife, Fed, who's a first responder, she's a nurse, and she said, you know, No, every day I do it because she's amazing.
Cool.
But we go through, you know, the battle of, she said, you know, let's get the plates. And she wanted to get the nurse and she wanted to get me the submarine veteran. And the prices were outrageous. It isn't $15, you know, and as soon as he said, oh, $15, you know, it may be a replacement cost, but that is definitely not the price, the initial price to get a vanity plate. And there are multiple different prices. They're not firm set. It's for what you want, how long it is. All the prices vary. Now, listen, I understand if you want to say, I'm the man, Pac-Man Jones, whatever. That's a vanity plate.
That's vanity.
For veterans, first responders, especially now, those should be waived. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because it's not vanity.
No.
You're not saying, hey, look at me. I made a cute series of letters.
Yeah.
No, this is you're proud to have served. Has signed up your name, you know, to potentially put your life down for the country.
1% of our country serves this country. That's it.
Man.
And 1%. That's it. And believe me, we could talk for hours on other issues. These Democrats, Republicans, whomever, both sides, talk out their literal rear ends about what they do for the vets. They don't do anything for our veterans. They do for a fraction of our vets. Fractions, because I was told to stay on point with the vanity plates, but, you know, health care, VA benefits, we could talk on all those issues because they decline more people benefits than they give.
Before I go
90%
to, I'm going to grab your number because we want to talk to you. Oh, Phil has it.
I got it.
Do you think that us making this fight for the vanity plates is a stupid one? Like, it's like, oh, you're getting us vanity plates for free? Great. Well, what about all this over here?
Yeah.
No, I think it's a start.
Okay, good.
I think it's a start. And I tell you what, I would love to be a mouthpiece for any part of it, whether it's the show or whether it's any place further.
Well,
cool.
We're gonna keep your number.
We're going to send you up. Again.
Well, now I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, now, because before I was like, yeah, $15.
Right.
I don't know. Is anyone really, you know, most veterans, you know, Robert, that they don't want the acknowledgement. They don't want the thank you. It's like, hey, I did it because I wanted to do it, you know? So,
no, right, exactly. Reasons, yeah. But when you start gouging for certain, it leaves a bad taste in the veteran's mouth.
Yeah. It's unthinkable.
Yeah. Think about that. I want people to know that I'm in the 1% that served. And then it's like, oh, $150, please.
Yeah.
All right. Good. We're on board. And we got your number. Thank you so much. And thank you again for your service.
All right. Great show, guys. Love you guys.
Thank you.
Love you more.
Love you too. John in Fairfield.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Hello, John.
Good. I'm the guy that originally called in on the plate issue. So
thank you.
Really, I appreciate everybody. It was great to, I mean, even Ashley knew that the $15 thing was BS, so
even
I appreciate
Ashley.
Everybody.
even me.
Even Ashley.
That means everybody's got to be on board now.
Sorry, I was just, I guess I was reflecting on the fact that I was thinking about Chaz doing all the talking about it, but I see everybody's involved. I just had a conversation with Phil. He gets it. Everybody gets it, and it's great to see the whole team, you know, involved in it.
You know, it took me a couple days to come on the air with it because I was thinking about it, and I thought, is this going to seem, first of all, I know how you veterans are, and thank you for your service. You don't want any credit. We say thank you, and it's like, no, you know. And I thought this might be, I didn't know. I had to sort it out. And then after talking to Robert, and then now you're calling back. Let's do it.
All in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's just, you know, the things, as a veteran, you're, look, it's as a taxpayer exposing how a veteran is treated, and you're going, oh, my God, it's a scam here, too, right? I guess that's part of the thing that requires the exposure. One of the things I was telling Phil, not to, like you said, you open the closet door and sometimes a bunch of things fall out.
Yep.
Is over COVID, we're trying to get our shot, right? And I went to, you know, the normal routes, and I said, you know what, why not go through the VA, right? And the VA said, oh, yeah, we can get your COVID shot and your booster. So I got my COVID shot and my booster through the VA. And about a week ago, I got a form in the mail that basically said I need to file this with the IRS because the VA provided me benefits for the year.
Oh, boy. Mm.
Like coverage. Yeah. It said they provided me coverage. I'm like, I got two shots, the same two shots, already as a taxpayer. I was supposed to get free anywhere. And now somehow it's going to apply to my taxes? What the hell?
Seriously.
That's wild.
Anyway. That's
wild.
Look, the plate issue is probably the most obvious, right? That everybody can jump on and look
it's
at.
It's an easy one because we all say thank the veterans, support the troops, but oh, that'll be $150, please.
You knew.
And
exactly.
When politicians do some good things, but when they show up at a veteran thing, and they're there for the cameras,
uh-huh,
and then they leave, and then they go to their office and say, yeah, $150 for a plate for that.
One cancels out the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not cool.
Nope. Yeah,
not cool.
It's a little thing, but it progresses towards big things. Right.
Right.
You know?
First step.
I just think that if we're going to recognize veterans with a license plate, you do not charge them for it.
No.
They've already paid for
they
it.
They earned it.
Right. All right. Right. And by the way, these vanity plates, the other caller, I get his point. Like, if I got a veteran plate and then it said something too, that's a vanity plate. Mm. This just has the veteran logo at the bottom of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right.
That's all.
Right. Just acknowledgement, yes.
Right. So that's what we're looking for.
Right.
That, when it just says veteran, that's free.
Anyway, all right. I appreciate everything you guys are doing. Like I said, this is just a little thing, and that little thing could lead to much bigger things. So,
yep.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you
for your service.
All right. Have a great day.
You too, man.
Chuck in Naugatuck, you're a Navy sub veteran. Chuck?
Is he in now? Chuck?
Chuck?
Hello? That's Chuck.
Chuck?
Chuck, it's me.
Yes. Hi, Chuck.
All right, Chuck. It's Chuck.
How we doing, man? Hey, I want to really thank you guys for stepping up and trying to get this vanity thing for us veterans. You know, like Connecticut doesn't take enough money from us already.
Seriously.
Yeah, no, thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for your support. You know, without guys like you, you know, we'd probably just fade into the background. And, you know, you bring us into the light every day. And we, you know, like I said, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate it. And I just want to say to the other submariner that called in, you know, some of the stuff he was saying, I started having flashbacks, you know, but especially when you fire a weapon like we, when you fire a missile, like a real missile, we had to fire one down in Florida, you know, dummy warheads, of course, but just to certify the ship that we were good to go. That's a really weird feeling, because what they do is when you shoot that missile out, they have what's called an HOV system, and it automatically compensates with water. So you basically tilt for like a fraction of a second one way, whichever, you know, port or starboard, whichever tube that's coming out of. And then you go right back to normal. It's just like a doink, doink, you know, it's wow. It's really a weird feeling.
So the whole ship will tilt a little bit.
You have to, like, hold on.
Anticipation of the thrust really, of the missile leaving?
Yeah, you feel it. I mean, you feel it like you're on a bus, almost, sort of. And the, you know how the floor vibrates on those old buses back in the 60s and 70s, you know? Yeah. And then it's like a fraction of a second, you know? So what they do is they compensate for the weight of the missile with what was this computerized eight, they call it an HOV system. And
that's
basically either whichever port or starboard tube you shoot out of, that's, you'll just tilt for like a fraction of a second and go right back to normal. And it's like a blink of an eye. You don't even know it.
So you got to hold on for a second, right? Like hold on to a bar or like sit down and strap yourself in or anything like that?
No, you don't lose your balance. It's
watch me.
Very,
I'll be the one guy.
How long were you underwater? Subtle. What's the longest you were underwater in a sub?
70 days was the longest I was underwater for.
Yeah.
And that was an extension. Normally, we were on a boomer, so we were 3 months in, 3 months out. But normally, you'd go out for anywhere from 50 to 55 days, depending on what mission you had and where you were going and whether you were, you know, the primary PM1, you know, basically the first sub that would get called if there was ever a war to launch.
Would you guys see underwater life? Can you see that or not really? Where you?
No, we were mostly putting around in the North Atlantic. We didn't, most, that's fast attack stuff. They go up under the ice and stuff like that. My friend Scott was on a sub, and they actually came up to the North Pole and were playing Frisbee on the ice.
Wow.
Wow.
Something to do. It's a bucket list.
That's pretty cool.
That is something.
I would have loved to have done that, but we're not really equipped to do that.
But I'm guessing sunglasses
are a
must.
On a boomer, we just basically go out and run around in a little box, and then they tell us to move, and we go somewhere else. But the most, you know, the most harrowing thing that ever happened was we did encounter a Russian sub at one time, and that was pretty scary.
What do you do, like blink your lights?
When you say...
You blink your lights?
Well, I had cross-trained as a sonar tech, and I'm the one that picked it up, and they didn't believe me. They said, you know, there's no Russian subs in this area. And I think that maybe that all goes back to when, you know, the Walker case where they had our crypto. I think they might have known where we were and they were looking for us, you know.
Ew.
But we picked them up and they had no idea we were there. But for 2 weeks, you know, we ran tape on this thing. And, you know, if we had orders, if that thing found us out or if it made a move, if there's any way that they detected us, we were going to take it out.
Ooh. Really?
Wow.
That's a long 2 weeks.
It is.
That's how do you
What's
sleep?
That?
Right. You ever make noise like fish?
Oh.
Well, I mean, you know, you're trained for it. I mean, but the good thing was is that we were ultra quiet for 2 weeks, so that means no drills, no cleaning, no nothing.
No
you just
beans.
Do your job and go to bed.
Yep.
That's true.
That was like a vacation.
You found the good in all that intensity.
Right. 2 week vacation.
What's that?
You found the good in all that intensity.
Well,
you know,
you know,
like, hey, we don't have to do any drills. We don't have to clean.
Nothing.
Sit here and make sure that, if they, you know, we're quiet. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's too bad it can't be like that all the time, but that's not the way it is.
Yeah, I hear you.
Hey, Chuck, thank you for your service,
man. Yeah,
man,
we gotta
go to break here. Appreciate you. A young Connecticut man lost his leg and almost his life in a hit-and-run accident, and his dad is on the phone to ask for our help. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Of course.
Yeah,
a lot of tribe members reached out as soon as they saw this story.
Yep.
Said, you need to have this guy on. So we want to thank them for bringing it to our attention. We're speaking to Jeff Coddington, father of Max, 23-year-old. How's your boy?
Well, right now he's, you know, he's stable. He's at the Bone and Joint Institute, which, by the way, I've got to give a lot of props to Hartford Hospital and the Bone and Joint Institute. They have had great teams working with him. You know, it's always scary when they say, hey, we've got the best guys working with your son. Like, okay, we garnered the best team. That's great and also a little scary at times. But yeah. He's doing well right now. He's stable. He's got operations going on almost every other day right now to try and take care of his injuries.
Tell us what happened.
Well, Max was heading north on 91 last Wednesday on the 19th, and it was right at around between 6:20 and 6:30, right where Route 9 matches up to 91, and he was heading towards the
where is that?
Heading towards the exit to come home.
9 and 91. What town is that?
That is, it's just south of Rocky Hill. It's okay. Kind of around the meeting between Middletown, Cromwell, and Rocky Hill.
Okay, gotcha.
All right.
And he was heading north, and he noticed in his rearview mirror that there were cars driving recklessly, like basically erratically going from all the way from the left lane to the right lane to the left lane to the right lane. And he said he saw, you know, two sets of headlights coming at, you know, flying up the highway. So he was in the left lane and he was coming up to his exit anyway. He currently lives at home with my wife and I, and he was getting out of the left lane to get into the center lane because he saw one of the cars, you know, barreling up behind him. And as he got into the center lane, he said he was hit in the right rear side, we assume by the driver of one of the other cars as they were flying up the road. And that sent him sideways, then spiraling into the air. Through the guardrail.
Spiraling into the air.
That's a hard hit.
Yeah, yeah. It was a hard enough hit that when he came down, the dashboard collapsed and amputated his leg at that time.
Oh, my gosh.
Took it right off almost, right there.
Oh, my God.
The dashboard took his leg off right there.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, it got his leg almost completely off. Now he obviously landed on his roof and, you know, thankfully several people stopped, you know, they stopped on the side of the road and were there. Max realized that he was upside down. He hit his, seatbelt, hit the ceiling and his, you know, there was smoke, you know, all around him from the car and engine. He said, you know what? I gotta get out of here. At first he thought that was it, that this was how he was going to go out. Cause his other leg was also trapped under the dashboard. And he started to try to pull himself out. And it's a distinct possibility that he broke his right ankle as well. But that may have been mangled broken in the crash. But he got himself out enough, reached back, and put his right leg on the dashboard and pushed himself out towards the back window.
That's a tough
where
guy.
Some of the bystanders helped pull him out.
It's unreal. He's a tough man.
Yeah.
At that time, actually, he didn't realize it, but he had pulled basically whatever he was attached to on his left leg that was he pulled that out right then. And so he's pulled out, and the bystanders, I've just got to tell you, there are angels out there. There are people who do the right thing. As much as there's someone who did the wrong thing with Max out there, the crazy drivers, which we'll talk about in a minute, there are people out there who got in his face, kept him from going into shock. They said, you know, look at me. We're going to talk about you. And they got in there and they put a tourniquet on. A state trooper showed up. And as my son said, he put a tourniquet on that. Wow, did I feel that one.
That's what's going to save your life. The one that feels like, I don't think it should be that tight.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, loosen it. That's the one that's going to save your life.
Yep, absolutely. You're 100% right there. Yeah, that's you know, when your life is at stake, that happens. So I, you know, I credit them with, you know, I have a brother who's been an EMT for part of his life, and he recently had a friend of his who was a similar accident type of a thing, and his friend bled enough on the side of the road that he's, you know, brain damaged now, because you can lose enough blood but not die and have terrible consequences.
Well, there was a boat accident in Connecticut a few years back, and someone got knocked off the back of a boat in the dark, and their leg got caught in a propeller and got cut horribly bad, and they put a tourniquet on it, but I don't know all the facts, but from what I heard is the tourniquet wasn't tied tight enough, and the person didn't make it. So that everyone that was there and everyone that did everything, you're right. That was the difference of us talking about your son going through a number of surgeries, and it could have been a completely different conversation right now. So, absolutely.
I literally can't thank them enough. I'm like, we've talked about it. Do I send them a cake every month? What do I do?
What do you do?
I don't know. And I talked to the doctors about that. They just looked at me and said, you know, sometimes people are just good people and you just say thank you.
Yeah.
And I will say this, the people that were there in my son's face, we've reached out to them and they've waved off anything. They're like, we don't want notoriety. We don't want fame. We don't, you know, whatever. Just
did it to do it.
And
all
we hope is that any. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, they just did it to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They said, we hope that someone would be there for our family if something happened. So.
These cars.
That's where.
Do the police have any leads? Did they pick up anything on some of those traffic cameras?
Well, I will tell you that the Connecticut State Police, the officers that I've been dealing with, have been very professional and thorough, and I'm quite impressed with the job that they've been doing. One of the things where Max had the crash, there happens to be a lot of crashes, fatalities, all types of stuff in that section of 91. So the DOT has a lot of traffic cams. However, the traffic cams, if you've ever seen the news, they don't look very crisp and clear.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to do, if I could take a moment here, is I'm trying to get dash cam footage anywhere from exit 20 to exit 40 on 91 North from last Wednesday from 6 to 7 o'clock. Because it's possible someone was driving north through Meriden on 91 and these guys went by him at 140 miles an hour. That maybe they caught some dash cam footage. And then we've heard, because I went out and did a social media outreach, and we've got over 3,000 shares. And I thank God that my post took a little traction and ground. And we've got a wide net of friends, and they shared, and it went on. And we've got over 3,000 shares in our area, that maybe it'll hit somebody who's got a dash cam footage. And, you know, don't brush this off, guys. If you've got dash cam footage, like, oh, someone else did it. No, please contact Troop H in Hartford with your dash cam footage. They'll come and get it. Or, you know what? I'll come and get it. But the troopers want to get it, and it will bring justice for Max. And we can get these dangerous drivers off the road, because they don't care about Max. They don't care about me, and they don't care about you.
They know that it's a black car. They're pretty sure that it's a black car.
Max has when he first came out of sedation, that was his first thing. He actually, I gave him a piece of paper. He had the breathing tube was in, and he had the IVs in. I handed him a marker. And he wrote, you know, Dad, find the people who did this to me. And he said it was a black higher end sports car, a higher end luxury vehicle. You know,
the car that hit him has to be damaged.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure the police, they do good work. They've looked into stolen cars of that type in the area,
because
they might be stolen cars.
Probably, yeah.
But, you know, remember this, the elderly couple that were hit and killed in Seymour and by a hit and run driver, they were able to get the person thanks to someone who knew the person and knew they were about to leave for Mexico and said, you know what, this ain't right. And they made the phone call and they were able to catch the person. And so someone out there knows who this person is and they know it's not right. And they know they need to do the right thing, or they're going to live with that for a long time. So it could be it could be dash cam, but it could also be someone who knows something.
Saw somebody, yeah.
Or saw a car part, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He had this black car, and now he doesn't have the.
Right. Or you saw those two vehicles speeding by you.
Right.
Right, right, right. And I've got to throw this out there. The way this has gotten traction, the way it's gotten ground, if everyone does stay vigilant, because let's face it, man, have you ever been driving on the highway? I know we all have, and you've been passed by that person going so fast. Listen, we all go a little, this is the Northeast and Connecticut area.
Yeah.
People, bring it up 75, 80 miles an hour. You just see it. It's almost like the flow of traffic is the speed limit's that. And if you go too slow, you're kind of creating a hazard. But when you're at almost twice the speed limit or more, what is that? What are you doing right there?
Yeah.
Picture if you had your loved one in a hospital bed one, they almost died, and now they don't have a leg. Their whole life now
is
going to be changed.
Yeah.
And breathing tube, very, very close to death. And you're sitting there and you're like, I hope somebody who knows something will come forward because that's my boy right there.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. So. The only thing I can really add to this, other than please contact Troop H in Hartford with any information. The number is easy to look up and I have it here. I could tell it to you. The other thing I want to throw out there is if you did this, if you're the person listening who did this and is out there driving right now, listen, turn yourself in. Save it. We're going to find you, man. We're going to find you. It's just a matter of time, either now or in, the short future. You would be amazed at what the police have shared with me. The tips that are coming in, we're able to start to thread this together already. And we're on your trail. It's going to come. It's going to happen. If you turn yourself in, I guarantee you it's going to be easier than if all these resources get spent and then we track you down and pull you in that way.
So there's some
out there. Listen, just do yourself a favor and say, all right, listen, it was me. It's going to be easier than when we, when we're knocking at your door coming for you.
So we're going to post this as the pod pick today. We're going to take a picture of you and Max and post that on the pod pick. So when people share the pod pick, they can see the picture. We'll put some information on there, contact information. There's also a GoFundMe page to help you guys out with this the incredible medical. And once he leaves the hospital, it won't be over.
No.
So we're going to link all this stuff up on the radio station website. And, Jeff, please keep in touch.
Yeah.
Keep us posted. Don't be shy. And tell Max we were asking about him.
Yeah, man.
Oh, you guys are amazing. Thank you so much. I've been listening to you for years. I thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to reach out. And I know it's a tough message, guys. Listen, everybody out there, and I'm sorry if this made some folks upset or sad, whatever. But you know what? Be the hero. Be a part of the hero of this story, man. And we really, really appreciate all your help. And thanks, Chaz. Thanks, AJ.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome. And thanks to everybody at the station.
All right, Jeff. All right. We'll talk to you soon. Hopefully it'll be we got this guy. Joe Myers.
Hey!
Movie guy.
Another good guy.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Another rock star.
Thank you. Yeah. We're talking about this movie that with the moon is going to hit the earth or something that's coming out.
Well, Halle Berry.
Halle Berry?
Yeah.
I've seen the previews, and my question is, how do they prevent that from happening?
Moon or the movie?
Her being in the movie. So many different questions here.
If the moon is out of orbit, how the heck do you stop that? I know we can maybe blow up an asteroid here or there,
right.
But, to me, that seems like an end-of-the-world event. Maybe the world ends that. What do I know? I haven't seen it yet.
I think everybody on the Earth just blows upward.
At the same time.
Everybody blow! Mm.
How would you do that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no idea.
My guess is that Armageddon is around 20 years old because they remake every movie every 20 years.
Right.
And they must have thought, all right, what are we going to remake?
We need something different. Yeah.
And they saw Armageddon, they're like, we don't want to remake that,
right.
But we'll use the same idea.
McCain's Bruce Willis, get me Halle Berry.
What?
Same thing.
What year was that?
Almost 25 years, 98.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, right there.
Wow. And so they just had Don't Look Up, which was, I guess, sort of along the same lines.
Oh, is that it? Don't Look Up?
Right.
I didn't see that
one. Asteroid.
Oh, yeah, okay, yes.
Yeah, Leo DiCaprio.
Right.
Oh.
The Netflix thing.
Yeah, does
Netflix
that count? Yeah.
I guess it's kind of the same thing.
And there was Deep Impact the same year as Armageddon.
Yeah, that was another trend that was happening.
Yeah.
They were having, like, within the same year, there were the two volcano movies, Dante's Peak, or whatever the other one.
Joe versus Volcano?
Yes. No.
They get on this, oh, I got a volcano idea.
Oh, we got a better one. Yep. Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. And then they rushed to get it out first, and I think Deep Impact won that race, but it didn't do nearly as well as Armageddon.
It's funny, because what must happen is they pitch... When you're trying to get financing for an idea, you're talking to everybody who has money, right?
Yeah.
And so somebody might be on the phone like, man, I like that idea. I don't like the names involved. They're losers.
Yeah.
You know? So you get off the phone like, nah, my money's tied up, click. And then you pick up the phone. Hey, I just got a call. The guy's kind of an asshole, but...
But
he has a great idea.
Right. He's got Halle Berry
in the movie. This does happen a lot. All of a sudden, there's two movies, and they're basically the same, and they come out in the same year.
Yep.
Well, you know, The Year Towering Inferno came out. There were two different books about a skyscraper on fire. And that year, two studios wisely decided, I think it was Fox and Columbia, to join forces and just make one really big movie. But that doesn't happen a lot. Usually they try to race and get theirs out first.
It was Columbia.
What was that freaking Western? Kurt Russell was in one and Kevin Costner was in the other.
Oh, Tombstone?
Oh, Tombstone and Wyatt Earp. Yeah.
Same deal. Because Kevin Costner was super red hot his career. And I was like, wow, Kevin Costner is going to make the classic. He's going to make the better one.
Yeah.
Tombstone comes out first. It was way better.
Yeah. All-star cast.
Way better.
Way better.
I agree.
So this Halle Berry movie, you could tell it's great, right? Because we talked about it for 5 seconds, and then we started talking about other movies.
Right. We started laughing about it. We just said Halle Berry disaster movie.
She did do Catwoman.
Again.
Yeah, that's not a movie you want to...
Couch.
Watch with the sound up. That's like, show me her in her cat lady outfit.
Yeah.
Only selected scenes, though. Yeah,
she's a great actress. She was great in that movie with Billy Bob Thornton. What was it?
Monsters Ball.
Right, fried potatoes.
Right.
Yeah.
And fried potatoes.
Yeah. Monsters Balls?
That's... Monsters Ball.
Oh.
Monsters Ball singular.
Yeah, no, Monsters Balls, actually. Look that up.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Oh, look. One hell of a movie.
Right. And flagged.
Yeah, she was great in that. Like
she was terrific.
I never really thought of her as a serious actress until I saw that.
That was a real breakthrough. And then, unfortunately, she never quite found a similar follow-up. You know, I think she went to Catwoman almost immediately, and, you know, that kind of hurt her.
Yeah. So, yeah, then she's been kind of nowhere, or I haven't heard of anything that she's done.
Well, she's bopped around. She's done some TV stuff, and she's done a couple of movies. She did a series like maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I forget the title of. I think it was a sci-fi thing.
That's how good it was.
But no, she's lost her mojo.
Yeah, no luster.
Well, she's loosely in the Marvel Universe because she's in the X-Men movies.
That's right, X-Men. Right.
And they do keep making them. And instead of recasting that character, she just kind of keeps coming back playing it.
That's right.
What character is she?
Storm.
Right.
Yep.
Oh. Okay.
Storm.
I kind of knew she was.
Southern Storm. Occasional Storm. Right.
She kissed Adrian Brody at that award show.
That's right. Yeah.
Remember that?
How much did she get paid for that?
Seriously. Yeah. Adrian paid her big money.
And Ashley's mind, that's on our list of credits.
Yeah. Right? That happened in the 90s. I remember it.
He looks like a human string bean.
What's that?
He looks like a human string bean.
He does.
If you put hair in a string bean.
Back to her.
The Jughead look.
She got stuck in one of the bad Bond movies, too.
That's right. One of the Brosnans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah, they did not get a lot of great, you know, when you look back at that time, it's a dark time.
Yeah.
It's one of those, we thought it was a good time.
Yeah, view to a bad move.
And then now you look back at it, you're like, well, it wasn't really a good time, was it?
it was Thumbfinger.
Who's the girl? I think it was the first Pierce Brosnan girl in the movie. It was the one that was in...
I can actually hear you hitting your head.
I know.
It's really hard.
She had Denise Richards.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that was...
She was a nuclear physicist.
It was impossible to believe that.
Yeah. Have you seen
the
please?
A lab coat and big glasses does not make you a nuclear physicist.
We will buy a lot. We will buy a space fight with a secret agent.
Yes.
We will buy a guy with, teeth, and you put a cable into his metal teeth, and...
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we'll buy all that, but, that's...
Charlie Sheen's ex, no.
We don't know it's crappy yet, do we?
We don't, How do we know?
I love people in space. There's something about that. I just, I like the whole deal, then it's, wow. I wonder if they're going to save the world.
Yeah, but Moonfall of Halle Berry does not sound like Academy Award winner.
Probably
well,
not.
Well, usually they don't release movies they think are going to win Academy Awards in the dead of winter. It is often a dumping ground for movies that they don't think are going to please the critics.
And here you go.
Oh, okay.
It's really cold outside.
Yeah.
Moonfall!
The premise of this movie is back at Apollo 11, we lost contact with the Apollo for 2 minutes. And during that period, we did something devious. We sent something into the center of the moon or some crap. We've denied it for 50 years. And then all of a sudden, hey, what's going on up there? You guys have anything to do with that?
No, me.
Nothing. No.
Don't know what you're talking
about. We didn't put a magnet in there. No.
Yeah. We put a big ball bearing in there,
right.
And then we turned our earth magnet on.
Oops.
It's like, oh, crap, I forgot about that.
How do you turn this off? The switch is broken. Go to Radio Shack. They're not around anymore.
It's a bad movie when you're 53 seconds into a 2.5 minute trailer and you're like, I am done.
I'm out already.
I'm out already.
My interest is
click.
Yeah, so we're 53 seconds in, and they've already, set up that Apollo 11, and they did something in the moon, and then now they're like, what the hell's going on?
50 years. And now, it's too late to stop.
It's Donald Sutherland, who I love.
In breaking news, the governor has just ordered the mass evacuation of the entire West Coast.
Moving.
The governor of the entire West Coast? Just a governor of the entire West Coast?
AJ, great catch.
That is a great catch.
The governor said that. The governor of the West Coast.
The mayor of San Diego.
Right.
The evacuation.
An Uber driver said.
It's interesting. They show something that's supposed to be, I think, the White House, and it doesn't look like the White House. It looks like a whole new deal. So I don't know what time. Phil, can you look up and see what time period this is in?
I think it's today.
It's got to be today because they say 50 years later, Apollo 11.
It's during the save your money period. You don't bother.
But that whole evacuation thing, why would you bother evacuating if the moon was going to collide with the Earth?
Yeah, really, just put a helmet on.
Stay home and watch Netflix or
exactly,
whatever.
Right. Drink your mind out.
Yeah,
rack up debt.
I wonder
everything.
I wonder how that would go. Like, all of a sudden... The moon's heading our way.
Yeah,
there's the government wouldn't be able to keep it from us.
No,
there's too many people with telescopes and stuff.
I noticed the moon's getting a little closer. Wasn't it a lot further yesterday?
Moon's really bright tonight.
Right, right.
I actually got a tan off the moon last night.
Oh, I hit my head on the moon this morning. Going to work. Ow! Damn it!
What did we find out?
It has already set records. It is one of the most expensive independently produced films of all time.
Ooh,
it had a budget of $140 million.
Wow. Yeah, all toilet paper.
Not a
probably.
Lot of money, but a lot of money if it's an independent movie.
Yeah.
Well, they did put names in this movie. There are actors that you will recognize involved in this. You mentioned Donald Sutherland, of course, and Halle Berry. Patrick Wilson is in
Wilson, I saw him in the trailer,
John Bradley, who's in Game of Thrones,
doesn't
pretty prominently.
Good.
Michael Pena's in this. He's in the Ant-Man movies. There's a bunch of actors in this.
Still need money.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's some good special effects. I think we're numb to special effects now because it's so easy to make it on a computer.
Yep.
Did you see the Pro Bowl promo that they've been putting on TV? That was pretty incredible.
I did.
I just saw that in 90 seconds.
Yeah. I'm just watching some images now. It's a typical disaster movie.
Yeah.
You're seeing all kinds of things and buildings crashing and, our, the the car with the two most important people on the planet who are going to figure all this out just missed death while a building almost fell on their car.
Almost, yes. Yes.
Yeah, that always happens. Did you ever see 2012 where John Cusack and his wife are like driving through L.A.? Oh. The whole thing is falling down around them and they get out.
Yeah. Yeah. What was it? That's not the movie where the airplane's taken off, and as they're taking off, the runway's collapsing underneath them.
Yes. They avoid so many near collapses, it becomes a comedy.
And
if they were to make Airplane today, that would be what they would spoof.
Yeah, okay. You're right.
Absolutely. That was a crazy movie.
And when you see the effects on that now, they look so cheesy.
Oh, very cheesy.
It's like something that an 11-year-old
really
did.
That's a zipper.
All right, so this is the last 20 seconds of this trailer. I'm going to show the spaceship flying around some big metal contraption. All right, then they end with the logo, Moonfall.
The name itself is dumb.
February 4th, 2020. Do we have to go to the movie to see this? The theater?
I think you do. I don't think it's streaming. I think most of the movies this month are theater exclusives. I think they've stopped that streaming simultaneously thing.
Moonfall sounds like a bad Duran Duran like album.
It does kind of.
It's a moonfall!
I'd buy that.
What file did that come out of?
Oh, I don't know.
Your brain.
I don't know. Probably leftover vodka from like 2 weeks ago.
Uh-oh.
All right, so this movie, I'd like, you know, if I'm home and I'm going through my phone and I'm like, I can't find a friggin' thing to watch, I'd watch that. I'd give it five
Me
or
too.
10 minutes.
I'd
you
nap.
Know, why not?
I took a nap instead.
I think I would, too,
I watched a movie like that called Geostorm on cable over the summer. I remember it was similar, where some kind of solar flares or whatever caused all kinds of problems.
Was it worth it?
Is that with the guy from 300?
Yes.
My dad loved that one.
It was, you know, it passed the time. He made another one called Greenland, which is also about an asteroid.
That was it. Wow.
Greenland. Yeah.
He made two different Earth-ending movies, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, my God. This guy must be tired of talking about, like, he goes to a party and all these, earth-warming people come, hey, man, you know.
Yeah.
I talked to you about this environment. Oh, yeah, okay.
My theory, too.
I'm just trying to have a little hot dog weenie here and have a drink.
Yeah. Like, all right. Where's
enough.
The sushi at? Sushi
enough.
Over there? Yeah. Where's the bathroom?
So we're going to talk about flops. We wanted to start with that one.
Right. Pre-flop.
Yes.
We're anticipating.
It's a pre-flop.
It's in belly flop formation.
Exactly.
It's already launched off
the high dive. It's in air right now, heading down.
I do this to you all the time. I say, hey, this is what we're going to talk about tomorrow. And then we get here and I'm like, you know.
Joe puts it all together.
I think if we do our flops list, Joe, we won't be doing a service to the people of this area who will be probably experiencing a snow day on Saturday. We're going to be in. We're going to be watching stuff. So why do we do a list of movies that suck when we should do a list of movies that we should probably watch when we're stuck home Saturday?
Right now, Joe is crushing his coffee cup in his hand.
We're doing him a favor. Don't watch these.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah. Anything come to mind? Anyone want to chime in? Like The Matrix. Is that worth watching, the new one?
I thought it was half good and half not so good. But, I mean, you know, if you can see it at home, why not? You know, I mean, they brought back Keanu and Carrie Ann Moss. So it's worth a look. It's not terrible.
But they just relive the first movie, right?
A lot of it, yeah. Yeah, a lot of it is that.
It's just a repeat, basically.
That's weird. Why would you? So there has to be some different ending.
Like a greatest hits or something.
And I fell asleep halfway through.
That doesn't sound
yeah, really not too far fetched for you.
Do you have to watch the first three?
Yeah, this is the fourth.
I don't think I saw the third. Really. I saw the first two.
It pretty much works as a standalone.
Okay. All right. That's not selling me on a. You really need like two or three good movies to watch on a snow day.
Yeah.
Mm.
Or you could binge watch The Witcher.
That?
All right, that's an option.
It's the one thing Ashley has watched since like 2016 that's not animated.
The one thing that I've
But can we talk about something I might actually watch?
I know.
Yeah. No, The Witcher's great.
There's no cartoon singing.
Try it.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the HBO series last summer? It was a six-parter called The White Lotus about a murder at a hotel in Hawaii.
You mentioned this last week. I haven't
White
gotten
Lotus.
There.
Thanks to the Green Lotus.
I'm glad you're mentioning this because I wrote it down and then I threw the paper out. And then, and last weekend, and I want to watch something.
Where's that piece of paper?
And the other one that's on Hulu that's fun, I think it's seven parts, was Only Murders in the Building with Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Yeah.
That looked pretty good, actually.
People who watch that really love that.
It's a fun show, and Selena Gomez is great in it. I didn't know she had it in her to be such a sort of comic foil to Martin.
Was it intentional?
No, she's really good. I they're shooting a second season right now.
Oh, wow.
It's the kind of thing, I think they're like 40 minutes. You can watch it all in a night or two.
Smooth.
What else?
Well, the movie that's going to get a lot of Oscar nominations that some people like and some don't is the Netflix movie The Power of the Dog, the one with Ooh. Kirsten Dunst and Benedict Cumberbatch. It's a very dark Western, and it's won all kinds of critics' prizes. I mean, if you have it in you, it's 2 hours, really well acted. But
why do you have
dark,
to have it in you for
dark.
2 hours? Shouldn't that be easy?
Well, I mean, if you have it in you for a dark, it's a depressing movie.
Right? Oh,
yeah.
Is it like that Camper Lady movie?
I don't want to go depressing.
It's better than the Camper Lady movie, but it's sort of like a cross between, what should it be, Brokeback Mountain and...
Chaz is out.
Brokeback Mountain is like a love story.
Right,
yeah, I'm good.
Ew.
This is kind of a Western love story with Kirsten Dunst marries this ranch. Oh, it's a little bit like Giant, that old movie where Elizabeth Taylor goes to the ranch when she marries Rock Hudson.
Where does the dog come in?
When you sit on the couch, the dog does something really powerful.
It's actually from the Bible, but I got to tell you, this is going to get a ton of Oscar nominations. So if you want to be ready for that.
Really?
It's on Netflix. It's on Netflix, and you can check it out.
The Power of the Dog. Oscar nods. That normally means there's some meaningful thing I don't care about
right.
in here. I'm supposed to take away and learn.
It's a snooze fest for me.
I don't want to learn anything.
Any car chases?
It's not really. And I don't know how you feel about Benedict Cumberbatch, but he's terrific in it. He plays this really strange brother of the guy who marries Kirsten Dunst and has all kinds of sexual repression.
I feel like he should always play a strange person. He's just strange looking.
His last name was Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
All right, that's good. I'm going to put that on my list.
Like a bad lounge singer from the
70s. How about a comedy? Is there a comedy out there that maybe most of us haven't seen that we should watch?
There's Encanto. I don't mean to be
no, he's not going to.
So, Ashley.
No,
but...
no. Stop it.
Yeah. Comedies, they don't make enough.
Swat.
They don't make enough
good comedies.
No.
They don't make enough.
They
good
need to
comedies.
Make more.
No, but it's
Which
weird
is why
what
people
they...
watch this.
It's funny.
You know,
they
people watch
comedies.
The same comedies over and over.
Yes.
You know, like I know so many people who have seen Moonstruck a lot during COVID.
Ghostbusters,
you know,
Animal House. Yes.
Bull Durham is one. You know.
That's a comedy.
Is it?
Yeah,
I think so.
Intentional or
really?
Yeah.
Have you ever watched Tim Robbins try to throw a baseball? It's hysterical.
Okay.
He's supposed to be this great pitcher.
Intentional
it's like, what
comedy?
Is that?
intentional comedy? Romantic comedy, yes.
A romantic comedy.
Yeah. He wears lingerie during games. Like, come on.
I thought it was like a romantic
Susan
movie.
Sarandon, Kevin Costner, Tim Robbins.
Very hot scene with Susan Sarandon and Kevin Costner in the kitchen.
Every time I see her, I think of the Taco Bell dog. His eyes. Chata the chalupa.
So no comedies?
No.
not new ones. I haven't seen a new one.
It's funny what they call comedies now.
Yeah.
You know?
Used to be funny.
Like that movie Lady Bird. Like if you Google comedy, top comedies, that movie always comes up.
That is not a comedy.
It's not a comedy.
It's a great movie, but you can't put comedy.
No. That is very misleading.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's the funny part.
That is the funny part. Yeah. We told you it's a comedy.
You washed it, you idiot.
All right, let me check over here. Hey, you have a movie we should watch this weekend in the snow?
Oh, well, actually, it's not a movie, but tonight, Resident Alien starts their second season on Sci-Fi.
Are you calling from the ship?
I think you're choking on a peanut.
I love your voice.
It's awesome, man.
Take me to your leader.
Unique. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry. She was not happy.
I think it was a dude.
I think it was a dude.
I think it's a dude.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, I don't think he realized he came right on the air. But what is it? Resident Evil?
Alien.
Resident Alien. Resident Alien. That sounds like it could be fun.
Is it a comedy or?
That's one of those I have to watch on my own. Jennifer's not going to sit through that.
Right.
So, during her 1 hour long shower. I can put that on.
Hour-long shower. Wow.
Those are the best.
That is clean.
It's a whole process.
Smell pruny.
Well, I'm ready to leave now, so I'll just watch something.
Right.
All right, Joe, we're going to link up to you on the radio station website. And anything else that we should know about? The Avatar 2 thing. I guess we could talk about that next time around.
Well, and number one in the country on Netflix right now is the fourth season of Ozark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to catch it. Yeah, we don't have enough time to go into it, but I watched it and loved it. Yep. And then there was a part where I was like, I don't know. I think I got it.
There was too much good football this past weekend. I'm still behind on this.
Seriously.
You know what? That might be easy for me to get back into. All right, Joe. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Yeah, I know last week we said, hey, you're going to talk to Jeff Tate.
Right.
Then it was just us talking about Jeff Tate.
Exactly.
But today we're going to talk to Jeff Tate. He's on the phone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thanks for waking up this time.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, this is kind of early in the rock and roll life.
It is.
Yeah, or late.
Maybe it's just a dream right now. Yeah. We're not really here right now.
Yeah, are you ever up this early?
Well, I try not to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try to be up a little later in the day. At least once it gets light out.
Yeah. You know?
I know you have at least one daughter, so there had to be a period where you were waking up to do parent-y type things, right?
Yeah, four daughters, actually.
Wow, four. Damn.
Yeah.
Okay, this is why you're touring all the time.
Exactly right.
Let me get the heck out of here.
Yeah, but that was years ago, and they're all grown up and adults now with children of their own, and so it's a different world nowadays, you know?
Jeff Tate, singer-songwriter, the original lead singer for Queensryche. It's weird to me to say that there's a Queensryche without Jeff Tate. We were talking about this last week when we were filling time waiting for you to call in. I was saying that having Queensryche without Jeff Tate is like having Queen without Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, it's not Queensryche.
It's not.
No.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, the voice. Drank it all in.
Thank you.
Yes.
I don't know. How does that happen? You know? Awkward question?
Silence?
Bad question?
What? Is there a question? Sorry.
Yeah, no. How did that happen? How are you not in Queensryche? How does that happen?
Well, a decade ago, we parted ways.
Right.
Yeah.
I haven't really thought about that since then, actually.
Yeah, I hear you. You're way beyond it. I've only talked to you. This is my second time talking to you. So to me, it's like still new.
Exactly. We're still hurting right now.
Holy crap, I'm still, don't get it.
Wound is not healed yet.
Jeff's performing this Sunday at the warehouse.
You know, if you have a, in my situation, in my belief, you know, we had a very good run. You know, we were a band for 30 years, which is just unheard of.
Yes, true.
That is really.
We made a lot of interesting music and made a lot of albums and that I'm very proud of. And we had a wonderful career together, you know. And there comes a time when you just have to part ways, and it's just sort of a thing that, you know, happens. And for whatever reason, I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why those things happen. But, you know, we had a good run, and I'm very proud of my career with Queensryche. And it was a time in my life, you know?
Yeah, I got you. And, you know, the fans always think, oh, man, if mommy and daddy could get back together, things right. could be like they were before. And it's like, well, no, people grow. And
exactly. Different directions. Right.
And, yeah, I totally get that. And you're probably, it's probably easier for you now because you get to, like, hey, this is how I want the song to go.
Yeah, I
want
to do this.
It's not a long conversation.
Right, you have a band works with you. Yeah.
This Sunday you're at...
Yeah, it wasn't ever a really musical difference or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's all about pretty much, I like being on my own as a solo artist and doing my own thing. You know, it's tough to be in a democracy, you know,
it is.
Where everybody has to have an equal voice and
yeah.
you have to vote about everything. And it's tough doing that, you know, and we did that for 30 years. And so it's time to definitely to move on and do different things in your life. And I'm very, very happy.
That Empire album, masterpiece. I'm guessing that you guys were firing on all cylinders at that point, like really getting along creatively at your, you know, best, or was it the opposite? Sometimes the best albums from bands are when there's a lot of tension and
anger.
Studio.
Yeah.
What was the vibe like in the studio when you were making that album?
Like every other record. Yeah.
You're not giving me anything, are you? You're one of those. you're just a calm, easygoing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like every other.
I don't know how to answer it.
I got you.
My own perspective. You know?
Yeah. So
we had a way of working that worked well for us, you know, and it was just a way of working that we worked all the way up until the last album we made together, which was Dedicated to Chaos. We made it the same way we made all the albums, you know.
Yeah. How would that go? Would you do the music first? You write the words, but.
We come in with the music and the words pretty much together, and in a nice sketch of what we wanted to try to achieve, and then we'd pass the song around to each person in the band so they could get kind of a feel for it, and then we'd start recording, and everybody would get to throw down their ideas, and we'd make a song out of it, you know, out of all the ideas. And that was kind of the way we worked, you know, for years and years and years. And
what did
till we got it to till we got the song to a point where we all liked it, and then that was done, and then we moved on to the next one, you know, until we had an album.
So did you watch the special Get Back where they showed the Beatles making Let It Be?
Yeah, that was really interesting, wasn't
that,
it?
That process, was that process similar to your process? It seemed like there were two people that were calling the shots, but they were open to other ideas.
Well, that's calling the shots is a sort of a awkward phrase.
Yeah. You know,
it always takes somebody or a couple of people to instigate a songwriting session. It takes somebody with an idea to present it and to push along the idea. And it takes other people to add to that, to make a piece of music or take an idea to where it can go, you know. And that's how a lot of bands work. And we kind of worked in that way. You know, one or two of us who had the idea would present it, and everyone would get involved to a certain point. It would be up to whoever's idea it was to finish it, basically, or to say, yes, okay, that completes my vision, or, wow, we've taken it now someplace completely different, but I really like it, so let's do that, you know?
Yeah, like we're talking about Jeff Tate, Queensryche, former lead singer, coming to FTC this Sunday.
Nice.
8 o'clock show. So Jet City Woman, you walk in the studio with the words and the music, or the words, and how did that sound in your head when you walked in as compared to how we hear it now?
Well, pretty close. You know, you have the basics. So the basics of a song are typically, you know, you have your verse section, you know, you have your verse part, and you have your bridge part, and you have a chorus part, and then you have an intro and an outro and a solo section, you know. And sometimes one person comes up with all those parts, and sometimes, you know, it's combinations of people that add to it. And we take a, you know, an intro from somebody that turns into also the outro, but we take a variation of that and we make a bridge, you know, and then somebody adds a chorus section that we like. So some you'll see on writer's credits, you know, writers, you know, contributing words or music, or it's put together like that sometimes, you know, just depends on the band or the artist.
How do you react to all these lists that you constantly make in terms of great vocalists, best vocalists ever, best metal vocalists? What do you think about that?
Rock God, you know, things like that.
Yeah, Rock God.
Yeah, things like that, yeah.
I wasn't aware.
I just wrote it down.
So you were voted number 2 on Metal Show's Top 5 Hard Rock Vocalists, ranked 14th on Hit Parader's list of 100 Greatest Metal Vocalists of All Time. You won Vegas Rocks Magazine Music Award for Voice in Progressive Heavy Metal. And you were 9th place OC Weekly's list of 10 Best High-Pitched Metal Singers. That's just a few.
Yeah. Wow. That's just this week. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then AJ says...
Sorry. AJ says... Yeah, I'm going to need a bigger hat for my head.
I'll order right now, yes.
AJ says you're the greatest lead singer to ever live.
I think so, yes.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'm just kind of curious now. Who is your favorite lead singer? Who do you think is the greatest lead singer besides yourself? You would have picked somebody. Because I know you work with Dio for hearing aid.
Probably pick, Ronnie was, incredible singer. Yeah. Well, he was very influential to me when I was starting out, you know, in a lot of different areas. And knowing him and touring with him was really an education, because he was very open to, you know, giving you constructive criticism if you were, you know.
Did you want it, though? Sometimes people give you constructive criticism. Well, you know, I don't remember asking, but go ahead.
Well, he'd been, you know, touring for, 15, 20 years before I stepped on a stage.
Oh, okay.
You know, he was a master.
He was very experienced, and, you know, you learn from people that go before you if you're smart, and you take the advice that they give you, you know. And Ronnie was incredible, great mentor. Stylistically and that kind of thing, I remember being very influenced by Tom Jones, who was a British singer.
Yeah.
People might remember him.
Right, yeah. My mom's still in love with him.
I want to see you do a video if it's not unusual.
Oh, my God. Yeah, your version, rock version of it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could match that. That's a fantastic song. You know, he was just one of the big power singers that before power singing was really a thing, you know. He just had a huge voice,
and
big delivery, and a lot of energy and charisma, you know. Yeah, I remember watching, back when I was a kid, he had a variety show on television.
Yeah.
That
they would tie his tie. The girls would tie his tie behind the curtain before he walked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was part of his thing. And
yeah.
I remember watching that and thinking, wow, that guy is so cool.
I want to do that.
He really had a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing.
And miles of chest hair, I know that. My mom would point that part out. I'm like, all right, Mom, relax!
Yeah. Jeff, thanks for coming on and taking the time. Hope my questions weren't too stupid. And we're linked up to your show. Jeff Tate, former Queensryche lead singer, coming this Sunday to the Warehouse FTC in Fairfield for an 8 o'clock show. We're linked up for tickets. Thank you, Jeff.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.